Let us pray. The God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's scripture is from Luke 15. Now, all the taxpayers and sinners are coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then he said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and now is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him home safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered to his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends.' But when his son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because your brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'"
This is one of the most famous parables that Jesus tells. You've all heard this story many times before. You've probably heard it preached about many times before. This is one of the parables that only appears in Luke. It's not in any of the Gospels. A lot of them are repeated. So if you look at this, right, it talks about the first few sentences, verses 1 through 3, about the tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees are complaining about Jesus spending too much time with them, eating with them even. And then it says, and then Jesus told this parable. But there's a gap, because the parable that's told here is not the parable that comes right after. He tells two other parables in there. The parable of the lost sheep, Remember that one? The shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them goes missing and he leaves the 99 behind to go and find that one lost sheep to return to the flock. And then he tells the story of the lost coin. You remember there's a lady living in a house and she loses one of her 10 coins. She's poor. She loses one of the coins and sweeps the house to find that coin. And she's so overjoyed to find it that she wants to celebrate with the whole neighborhood and she makes sure that everybody knows that she has found that lost coin. And then Jesus talks about how repentance, when one sinner repents, there's celebration and joy in heaven, just like that. And then he tells this parable, which is so rich, and there's so much going on, and there are hundreds of sermons that you can find so many different ways to enter into this story. A lot of people will talk about the older son, or the younger son, or the father. Someone, according to one of the commentaries I read, once preached a 30-minute sermon on the meaning of the fatted calf.
Oh my.
So get ready, everybody. Okay. But for me, the important thing about this story is the feast at the end. So here's this story, just to set it up, give you a little more detail that you don't get from just reading it. This younger son, remember, in the Bible, when you hear about older and younger sons, God usually favors the younger son. So here's this younger son, and he goes to his father, and he says, give me my share of the inheritance, which at that time would have been one-third. So the older son would get two-thirds, and the younger son gets the one-third. And what the scripture passage tells us is that this younger son, his inheritance would be mostly land. So when he gets his inheritance, when his father agrees to give him his third, it's in land. So those couple days when they talk about him preparing, he's probably arranging for the sale of that property. So just to go back for a second, at this time and place, probably still in the Middle East, to go to your parents and say, I would like my share of my inheritance that I would get when you die, is pretty much saying, I wish you were dead. Seriously, I wish you were dead. Give me what's mine. So it's a horrible insult to the father and to the culture. It's awful. I read stories about sons who did that in current, you know, Palestine, went to their fathers, asked for their, and it the destroys the family, right? Because it's just so awful. Such a deep, I can't stress enough what a horrible insult that is. And then to take the land and sell it is insult upon the insult. You remember when God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and had them wander around for 40 years, finally to come to the promised land. That land was God's gift to the people. To turn around then and sell it is an insult to the whole community. That land belongs to us as a whole. It's our ancestral place. It's part of us. If you sell it, you've slapped us all across the face, right? So two insults. And then he goes off to this far-off country, lives this dissolute life, or as the King James Version says, riotous life. Well, I don't even know what that means. But he goes and he spends all of the money and he's left desolate. His dissolute life has led him to desolation. So he winds up hiring himself out to it just calls him a citizen, but somebody who owns pigs, and he becomes the pig feeder, right? Feeding the pigs, slopping the pigs. Insult number three, because you remember the Jews, pigs are unclean. So if he's feeding these pigs, he's down in the dirt with, literally in the dirt with them, unclean. He's In the pig pen, he has reached rock bottom, and he has now insulted not only his father and slash family, also his community, and now God, right? It's the triple insult. He's done these three awful things, and he's hit rock bottom. He's in this pig pen with these pigs, and he has this transformative moment. I'm always looking for the transformative moments, right? This transformative moment when he realizes, I should never have left, right? I want to go. My father treats his employees better than I'm being treated here feeding these pigs. And it's humbling, and he comes up, he's going to go back. But he's not going back as the son. He's going to go back and say, and just pretty much drop to his knees, admit his horrible mistake, and go back. And he's expecting the worst. The whole journey back, you know, this is going on in his head. What to say to daddy when I get back? Will he even take me back? Will the town stone me? What's going to happen to me when I get back? But he goes because he knows that's what he has to do. He has to be back at home. He's hungry. So he goes back. The scripture tells us that his father sees him coming from a distance. Is his father out on the porch every evening, watching the horizon, hoping against hope that this son will return? That he sees him in the distance and knows it's him? And he sits there and he watches and he sees his son coming, and what does he do? He hikes up his robes and he runs to meet him. Here's another interesting thing in that culture. Older men, older women either, older people do not run. Because it's, what? Well, they can, but they don't, because it's undignified. You know, to be running with your robes flowing behind you and, you know, potentially tripping. Older people do not run. This is what the commentators say. So because it's so undignified. And yet this father casts all that aside, actually adds it to the indignity that he has already suffered at the hands of this son to run and greet him, right? This is a beautiful illustration of prevenient grace. Remember prevenient grace, John Wesley? Oh, I'm seeing nods. That's good. For those of you who didn't nod, prevenient grace is John Wesley's idea of grace is three different aspects of grace. Prevenient grace is that form of grace that when you are born, before you have any concept of what or who God is yearning to be in close, loving relationship with you. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, prevenient grace. Thank you. God wants so deeply to be in relationship with you before you even know who or what God is that he's already working to lure you into relationship. And we see something very similar here. And then the son comes home, and the father has to do something to reconcile the neighborhood. So A, he wants to reconcile with the son. B, he wants to reconcile with the neighborhood because there was this incredible insult to them as well. So he reaches out to them and has this vast party. But who's not invited? The older brother. The older brother comes home from working in the fields. Oh, what's going on? Nobody thought to run out and tell big brother that the little brother is home? He doesn't have a great reaction. He has what I would say is very transactional in his response. I know I talk about this a lot, right? But it's a very transactional response. I have worked as a slave for you all this time. I've always obeyed you. I didn't run away. I didn't insult the community. I didn't insult you. I didn't insult God. And yet, how come he's getting the fatted pig, right? He's expecting, I've done all this. I should be getting this. He has not experienced the transformation. So this transformative experience happens here. The father recognizes the son and lavishes this love on him the same way that God lavishes this love on us. Now remember, here we are in chapter 15 in Luke from chapter 9-ish to 19 or so, that's the part of Luke where Jesus is on his journey, where he has set his face, as we say, towards Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows what's coming. He knows what he's going into. And I can't help but think that when he talks about this feast, he's talking also about this feast. This is God's gift to us. This feast, open to all, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've done it to, this feast is open to you. There are people, if you're sitting here and you think, well, I've never done anything to anybody. I've never felt unwelcome at this table. There are people out there who do not feel welcome at this table. The membership class yesterday, we talked about that. One of our fellow classmates, let's just call her a classmate. She was at the table and she shared her experience of, she's a transgendered woman who did not feel comfortable until she reached and recognized her full, authentic self, thank you. And she refers to it as a journey, her journey to her full authentic self. Just like the son, the younger son, has a journey to his full authentic self. He realizes that he doesn't have any entitlement to what his father gives him and he has to go and go back. We do this every week to remind those who have not always felt welcome and open at this, who have not always felt welcome to this open table. We have to spread that message to them. This is the core of what we do here every week. It's not about the sermon. It's not even about the prayers. It's about coming here and building this beloved community that Jesus showed us how to do. Jesus welcomes everyone to this table, and I do it every week because I remind you and you and you and myself and for anybody else who comes in here that that's how much God loves them and that's what God did for them. Amen.